Craig Hoffman.
The job to do, Craig. Can't be comfortable.
That's not true.
The Hoffman Show.
This is radio.
That wasn't me talking.
The people here at Eastern are just lucky we're wearing pants.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It is the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live on the free Odyssey app. 5 o'clock each and every day during training camp means we do our training camp 5 at 5. And doozy of a podium session today, as Ben Standig is with us. Of course, he was there. Ben, what was your reaction, by the way, when they announced the news that Mills had been dismissed?
So right before that, we were, you know, getting near the end of the practice, and it was a hot day today. This is my third shirt of the day, so I was I decided I was go for some shade at the end. So I was watching the practice, but from the media tent, which is right off the field. So there were a lot of people around, and all of a sudden, a few of the other media folks came in and said that they had just been given a heads up, hey, you want to be there for Ron today. Because sometimes we have to make a decision, do we go for the Ron press conference or do we go get players walking off the field? So we knew something was coming. And this is a training camp where twice Ron Rivera has opened a press conference announcing a player is retired.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on. You know, none of us do. And then he walks in and, you know, says he's made that change. And I think we were all, again, the timing more than the decision, I think, was the surprise for many of us. And, you know, it's not of all the things you think you're going to hear. That type of deal isn't one of them. Even the retirement stuff is almost less jarring because it's like, I get it. Like, it's hard to play
it's
football.
Like a fourth. If you're a fourth string tight end or a fourth string linebacker, you might not make the team anyway. Like, hey, coach, I can do the math here. Like, I think I'm good. Like, I realize, or that realization that, you know, maybe I just can't play at this level. That makes sense. This is wild.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I guess, like we said before, even if you have some sort of, as Ron Rivera said, philosophical differences, presumably with how to coach the players and so on, this Sam Mills has been with Ron Rivera for 11 years. He's been here since 2020 with this same coaching staff. So it's just wild that whatever these differences are exactly could not have been resolved prior to this moment in time. Even the offseason, right? The OTAs, the minicamp, that was 2 months ago at this point.
Right. So that was June.
Even if you at that point said, okay, we need to make a change, get ready for training camp. But yeah, so it was very surprising that we heard such an announcement.
Anthony, let's fire up the music, get the training camp 5 at 5 going. And we can actually start with Ron Rivera on Sam Mills' replacement. Jeff Scanina is his name. And Ron was asked, obviously, why this guy? What does he bring to the room?
Pretty much what we've seen. You know, he's, you know, obviously Jeff played the game, and so he's got a tremendous amount of experience and knowledge that he does share with the players, and he'll continue to share with the players. He's got tremendous enthusiasm, so he'll continue to be that guy for them.
I mean, this is one of those things that I would, I guess, ask as someone who's watching practice every day. Like, what have you seen from Scanino? Like, how involved has he been versus Mills? Like, do you see players talking to him in a different way? Is there anything you've been able to glean from watching him, not knowing that you were watching the future D-line coach?
Right. Well, you know, like, obviously all these coaches, they're, you know, they played in the league or they played football. They're football guys. But, you know, like when Scott McLuhan used to say he wants football guys, Jeff Scanina is one of those types of guys. He played in the league for 17 years. He is very intense. He's very focused. The thing that's interesting is, I pretty much almost every day end up over where the defensive linemen are doing their position drills before practice really gets going. There, it's on the far end of the field from where we are. Today right. was the rare day I didn't actually go over there. But when you watch them, Scanina is the one who is really running them through their drills. He's the one organizing the situation. If you didn't know any better, you would actually think that he was in charge. Now, perhaps that's what the assistant's job is to do, right? But like, to that end, he's very much involved in what is happening. He was an assistant coach in a few other spots, including with the 49ers right before he came here. So he's been around as a coach. He's certainly been around as a player. You know, obviously we'll just have to see over time. You never can tell for sure how good of a position coach somebody is, but he isn't somebody that's completely off the street. He's been here for 3 years. He knows these guys. So it shouldn't be that big of a deal. So I think that's important to note at this point.
Definitely. As for Skinina himself, he was asked a bunch of questions, the last one of which was if he's actually fully processed the change yet, just hours after being told the news and then ultimately running his first practice.
I woke up this morning, had no idea. I came out to practice. I'm the same person. Like I said earlier, I'm not changing. So I don't look at it as anything. I look at it as an opportunity to get all these men a championship. That's the goal. Not going to change.
Football guy, Ben. Football guy.
Yeah, we tried to get into the, and I asked one of those kinds of, hey, so tell us about some of your emotions here. And he's like, yeah, that's not happening.
Emotions, I just got football.
Right. I'm just here to coach these guys up, figure out what to do, and that's going to be it. Great. Fine. I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe he just doesn't, that's just not his deal. Not everybody is, into the emo, so to speak. So he's not that guy. And, we'll see what happens. But yeah, I mean, also, look, it's a tough day. I don't know how close he and Sam Mills were, but obviously they worked together for all these years. And he just finds out that this guy has been fired and now is a change. And, he's got to get the respect of those players. Not that he doesn't necessarily have it already, but it is a little bit different now when you're the lead. He's got to get the command of that room, no pun intended. And, he's not looking to share his, what this means from him, from that he's been thinking about playing football since he was 10 years old and he always dreamed about this. He's just there to coach.
Yeah, and especially, if he's had his own room and stuff before, it's not like he just got a job he's never gotten before or anything like that, if that's the case. So there's probably that mellows it out. Also, he's jumping on a moving boat, and that's part of it. He's part of the way in, but now it's like, hey, buddy, you got to drive, and we're not slowing down. Back to Rivera we go, because this was probably, other than the Mills thing, the biggest story of the day. Carson Wentz had a really, really, really good day today. 6-on-6 in the 7-on-7 period. Here is Rivera afterwards on his quarterback.
Pretty much what we've seen. He's getting more and more comfortable. He's developing a little bit more rapport with the receivers and the tight ends and the backs. And I think again, we were in a padded practice where the offensive line can defend themselves for the most part, as opposed to some of the shell practices that people observe. So I just thought it was a well timed out practice. I thought the timing between him and the receivers is getting better, and that I think is important.
I think it's hilarious that Ron's like, oh, it's everything we've been seeing. No, it's not, which is why it's a story. But what ultimately did work for Wentz today?
Obviously we see the arm strength, even when the inaccuracy issues are there. You see that, and that's what gives you hope that this offense could go to another level. The issues have just been he's just been off a bit. And look, it's to be fair to Wentz, we don't always know. Did the receiver cut the route short? He's not playing with the full offensive line, all these kinds of things. He was accurate today. He hit Dax Mill on a fourth down play in the end zone for a touchdown. He hit Kyrick McGowan, one of these sort of young roster hopefuls, deep down the right side. He and Jahan Dotson, I think he's probably had the best chemistry with him in camp. He found Dotson deep down the right sideline as well. And he and Terry McLaurin, who are still building that chemistry, had a couple of nice connections as well. He just he just put the ball where it needed to be. And whether that's because, whatever, he had his Wheaties today. He's just getting more comfortable with the offense, with the players. Maybe the defense just felt a step slow because they've been mostly on their P's and Q's throughout camp. Whatever it was, he was a better quarterback today based on what we can see, just in terms of the pure accuracy and completions.
John Bates was back today, and has been back the last couple of days now, for the Commanders, which is huge. Logan has said he thinks he's the best blocking tight end in the league, which is pretty impressive. And Logan knows something about being a blocking tight end, but we'll see, obviously, as Bates continues to grow. He's only in his second year, but he is a part of perhaps the most competitive room that they have. John Bates on what that huge room full of good players has done for all of them?
Yeah, I mean, it's pushing everyone to get better. And, you know, we got a great group of guys, and everyone wants everyone to be the best that they can be. And so it's really cool to be able to watch everyone, you know, the young guys, veteran guys that have been around a couple years, to just be able to watch and, you know, help teach each other and learn from each other. So it's been a really cool experience.
It seems like that room is destined for four. Maybe not if Logan Thomas starts on PUP, then maybe it's three and then ultimately you add. But if you had to pick the last guy in right now in that room, Bates is definitely safe. It feels like Cole Turner's safe. Who's the last guy?
Yeah, I think I would go with Samus Reyes, because from a blocking standpoint, I think he's the one that gives you the most after Bates. Now, the other guys, your Curtis Hodges, your Armani Rogers, interesting players. I imagine you can get one, if not both, stashed on the practice squad. I mean, you know, they were undrafted. Rogers was a college quarterback who's switching to tight end. They both have been interesting. I know Logan is a huge fan of Curtis Hodges. He certainly was more in the offseason program. So I think they're interesting. And look, Samus Reyes is obviously not the most experienced guy in the world based on his journey from never playing football to getting in the league. But purely as in terms of blocking, he gives you more. Cole Turner is a receiver sort of period. Logan Thomas can do a little more of both, but as you said, we don't know when he'll be able to get back. So my guess would be Samus Reyes right now, but I do think there is still some wonder there because these other guys have been interesting.
Definitely. So it's our training camp five at five. That's four. Anthony, I know we pulled another bite from Scanina, but I want to short Benjamin St. Juice. So I'm just going to ask Ben, since you were there, they didn't put St. Juice presser on Twitter or on YouTube. So since the Commanders are hating on St. Juice and you were there, what's the most interesting thing you heard from Benjamin St. Juice, or were you not there?
I actually wasn't there, because when Rivera finished, we all went and ran out to see John Allen was out there. So we ran to him. So I wasn't there for Bates or St. Juice. I guess somebody was to ask a few questions. But, you know, you can catch those things on tape later. We all were trying to figure out what to make of this. And obviously, John Allen is somebody you want to talk to. St. Juice has looked, I don't want to overstate that he's looked good in camp, but obviously he's getting a lot of run with the first team out of that slot. He's played some on the outside with William Jackson having missed practice the last few days. I think he's pretty locked into the third corner one way or the other. But in terms of what he said today, we'll have to come back to the transcript later.
Yeah, he had some interesting comments, and it's kind of predictable. Like he's grateful for William Jackson III and Kendall Fuller to be able to help him, all that kind of stuff. Let's go to Allen then. What did John say about his position coach being let go?
Yeah, he admitted to being a little surprised. He said that the two have had a pretty good relationship, and you know, look, John Allen's a pretty stoic guy. He's not going to give too much away. But you know, I think he, you know, he said he was surprised at least by the timing. And like I said before, I don't think this is something that was like so out of left field. They're like, whoa, wait a minute. You're firing this guy. What the heck? I think it's more of, wait, why are you doing it now? So my interpretation of what Allen was saying was sort of along those lines that he said he was surprised by the timing. I'm sure you're also just surprised in general. You're working with this guy every day. And as we're all saying, why are you doing this now? But yeah, I think there was some of that. But at the end of the day, you know, they know Scanina. He's been around. So I don't think he's feeling like this is some major blow to them. But they've got jobs to do. And, you know, they got to do it no matter who's coaching them.
Yeah. And just for clarity, Ryan Kerrigan's been out there shadowing. Ron said he will continue to do so. There has not been anything official in terms of Ryan being added to the staff. Warren Sapp, I guess, has been back out there as well. Same thing. He's just there visiting, helping out. Nothing official there. One of the other defensive assistants is going to be helping out with that group as well. So we will continue to monitor that. And if any new details come out, of course, we will pass them along here on the Team 980. I just saw a note from Mark Maskey of the Washington Post. Roger Goodell was asked about some of what has happened with Dan Snyder. The response was, let's just call it predictable. Tell you what it was if you can't guess. Next, Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show.
Let's go! Let's go!
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hoff Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's been quiet on some of the investigation fronts this week so far. Now, granted, it is only Tuesday, but ever since the Dolphins stuff wrapped up, and then obviously we're waiting on what Peter Harvey will do with the Deshaun Watson case, I've kind of been wondering, hey, when's the next Dan Snyder thing going to come out? And Ben Standing's with us today, of course, as he is on Tuesdays now throughout the entire football season here on the Team 980. You know, Ben, we keep you past football season, but it's not like you know anything about the Wizards or anything. You never spend any time with them. That's my way of saying I hope that we have you on Tuesdays far beyond the football season. And certainly it would be fun to talk Wiz when they get back. But Roger Goodell was asked today. I don't know where. Do you know where he spoke or anything? I just see Mark Maskey tweeting about it. So I don't know if Maskey talked to him or what the deal is.
I'm assuming he's giving some sort of press conference, I guess. I really don't know. I saw this earlier as well, and I did not know that he was talking today.
I feel like sometimes he just pops up in Maskey's Twitter feed. I'm like, where else is this? And Maskey's just like, yep, he's here. He's in my Twitter. Roger Goodell's having a singular press conference inside my Twitter feed. But Goodell was asked about Snyder's testimony to the House Oversight Committee. And he says, we were not party to that. We did not participate in that in any way. So I don't have any other information that you don't have on that context. Goodell then asked on Snyder's potential future involvement in daily team operation. Says there's an ongoing investigation, a congressional investigation, as well as our own investigation into those issues. As we get resolution on that, Dan and I will discuss where he participates, and then on whether there's a timeline for the completion of Mary Jo White's investigation to the commanders and Snyder. He says we don't force timelines on those. The first part, I think, is kind of the least true, if you will. I have a feeling that if Roger Goodell and all his power wanted to know what happened in Dan Snyder's testimony, he could probably know. Now, he's not saying a thing publicly before that testimony comes out, but him saying, oh, we had nothing to do with that, that's not really answering the question.
Right, for sure. And I think you're right. I mean, I think Roger Goodell could probably figure out a way to know what was there, but at the same point, you know, there's some benefit to not having to not have that information, and thus when he's asked questions about it, to not have to deal with it. It looks like he was, I guess, talking today because the Denver Broncos new ownership sale went through.
Oh, right.
So I guess
sense.
He was taking questions on that. But some of these other topics came up. I mean, I'd been told a few weeks ago that there was. I had one of the attorneys for several of the former employees here in terms of the Mary Jo White part, so not the Congress, but that aspect with regards to Tiffany Johnston, that part of the investigation, that they were anticipating something coming potentially soon, but I feel like that was already like a month at this point. So there, on both of these fronts, I don't know when we're going to get anything. Both Dan Snyder and Congress have to approve the transcript before that comes out, and they talk for a long time, so we'll see when that happens. And then the Mary Jo White thing, she's now done with some other matters, the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
So I presume this is what's on her plate, but we'll see. But yeah, I wouldn't expect Roger Goodell to put his to say much of anything on this topic.
Right. Either it is exactly what you just said. I don't want to know, so I didn't ask. Or he knows he did a good job of lying about it. Either way, it's him doing his job. I'm not really, like, it's annoying because we're journalists and we want the truth, but it is also completely understandable in terms of what his role in all of this is. I do think it's interesting that nothing has come out yet from this testimony. Now, I do think timelines are important and it's somewhat explainable. Snyder was asked to testify on the second to last day of the congressional session. It was the 28th. It was a Thursday. They had 29th, and then obviously the 30th was the weekend, and then the House went into August recess. As you have heard, if you pay attention to news of the world outside of sports, the Senate has continued to work. They just passed this massive bill, the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022,
And have finally, after a Votorama this weekend, which now we're getting into a bunch of like details of the, how the political process works that are messy. Like, it took them a long time, but, and well into when they are usually also at recess, but ultimately they got that done. They will now go on their break, but typically both chambers are out the entire month of August. I think from what I've heard of following the politics side of this and having an interest in that story, I think the House is coming back a little early to also vote on this Inflation Reduction Act, which is important because once people get back to work, there's a chance that they start working on other stuff too. So I kind of expected there to be kind of a dull period here because they don't, while like the Mary Jo White investigation, the NFL, as much as they can say, oh, we don't care about timelines, I think they would prefer this to be done in the regular in the preseason. That way, when the regular season starts, the football swallows the story. It's better for them from a PR standpoint. Congress doesn't care. So and considering this was a House committee and the House has been on recess, it makes sense that they haven't done anything yet. But that could change, I think, a little bit sooner than we thought, if the House comes back into session early to work on other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Look, one thing that's interesting to broaden out the Congress aspect is, obviously, midterm elections are happening all over the place, primaries. Carolyn Maloney, the chairwoman of the Oversight Committee, is going through her own primary. She's actually in a pretty interesting situation because with the reshaping of districts, she and another Democratic colleague are going head to head. So only one of them is going to come out. Both are currently in seats. It's possible she gets primaried out this month. And if that were to happen, I'm not saying that she would pack her bag. She still is in office through
January.
Into January. But at the same point, I guess the point is that like all Congress, everybody's up for election. They've got things to do that go beyond this. So they may come back and vote, and I'm not saying again that this isn't a priority because clearly they've made it one. At the same point, they've got a lot of other stuff they've got to do, including win their own election. And this is, that's a whole other topic, but this is something to keep in mind.
Well, it's actually relevant even. This is where like sports and politics, legit, not in the way that like social issues, we call it politics, right? Like this is sports and actual politics mixing. And we had, I want to say it was Paul Kane, who's the congressional reporter for the Post, when he was on, he told us this, that this is kind of a winning issue. Like going after Dan Snyder in the middle of New York Giants country in Manhattan, which is where Maloney is from, is actually popular. So there could actually be some kind of urgency to do some work on this and to make some headlines because it's like, hey, look at me. I'm conducting oversight of big corporations, which is a popular Democratic talking point. And by the way, that big corporation is the Washington Commanders and Dan Snyder, who's a bane on all of our existences. So it's funny because I think it was Paul who was talking about this. It makes sense that he was the one who said it. It's like literal Manhattan politics are having an impact on this. Do I think that's the ultimate driver versus like them actually trying to do the right thing and do their jobs? No, they're trying to do their jobs. But the timing of it is very interestingly impacted by this. And the fact that Goodell today, again, the reason that we're talking about this, he's like, I don't know what's going on. I think is interesting and something to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks. Have you heard anything? Like last time I heard anything was the day that he testified, and I had reached out trying to get someone on the show about it. And they were like, yeah, he's little did I know at that point he was still testifying because it was like 5 PM and he wound up testifying till like 11 PM at night or whatever it was. But he, like the members hadn't even been briefed yet because the testimony was done by staffers ongoing. Have you heard anything on that regard?
No, I mean, I really haven't heard too much. I need to get back on it a bit more. It's been, the day-to-day training camp grind is keeps that busy. But yeah, at that point, a few days after that, I still been checking with people, still hadn't heard too much on this situation. Because like I said, both sides have to agree before the transcript can go out, and he talked for so long, and we don't know exactly what's in there. You could easily see this thing be legitimately negotiated or be lawyered to the point where it takes a while for it to come out. But at some point, it will come out. My only hope is it doesn't come out next Monday night when it's the season series finale of Better Call Saul. I just don't want that. Other than that, Okay, but just not next Monday.
Don't ruin Ben's TV time. Congress, that's all we ask.
Right, we don't
ask for
much.
Literally everything. Everything. In the whole country. All the stuff. Just don't ruin the Better Call Saul finale for Ben Standick. All right, when we get back on the field, we go on the Team 980.
The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the Odyssey app. Ben Standick in with us, of course, on a Tuesday here on the show. If you missed Mike Jones earlier, Tyler Aki from ESPN 1000 in Chicago earlier, make sure that you check the podcast or Rewind on the Odyssey app. Now easier than ever, to use the Rewind feature. If you know, like, for instance, you want to hear about Tyler's insight on Roquan Smith and the situation developing in Chicago, and you know that segment was at 4 o'clock, you can literally click on 4 o'clock on the Hoffman Show in the Odyssey app, and it will take you right there. It could not be easier. Really great stuff from all of our team working on the updates there, and there'll be more cool features to come rolling out over the next few months. So make sure that you download it. It is always free in the App Store or wherever you get your apps. Ben, what is it, Google Play that you have? Because you're a green phone guy. But Anthony, I don't know if you know this. I'm sure you've texted Ben before. He's not an iPhone guy. He's a green text guy.
I'm well aware.
It is amazing. Everybody with an iPhone, it's just absolute disdain for the non iPhone people. Y'all don't realize you're in a cult. It's unbelievable. What do I go to? I used to have some random app on my phone, but I actually have gone to the Google Podcast. So
okay,
yeah. So it's a good deal.
I mean, there is an Odyssey app for Google or Android phones, I guess is what it's called.
Oh, I mean, just to be clear, like I have.
You have the Odyssey.
Where's my
app.
Camera?
I got there. Yep. No, I see it right there. And look at his stations. They're ours. They're the Team 980 and the fan.
So, I'm not just saying this. Like, I actually, the Odyssey app, I really actually do like. I'm not just saying that because I'm here. It is an easy way because, you know, when you're out and about all day, I can't always. Obviously, I'm not in my car a lot, so I don't hear what's going on. I want to go back and hear interviews. It's a good way to do it.
Awesome. Real life endorsement from Ben Standick. They still give. Is there still like a separate group chat? That used to be a thing when I was on the beat. There were like two group chats. It was like all the important stuff that had Standig in it, and then an iPhone only group chat that just talks smack and if something funny happened, it'd be like, someone tell Standig.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is the group chat with sort of the important stuff, and then I think there's like a lot of splintered conversations that happen. But trust me, I have multiple friend groups that have basically disowned me because of this phone situation. It is. I've even had people have had like heart to heart talks with me, like, seriously, you need to reconsider your philosophy in life, because I'm like, what, really? A phone?
Because the text is green. I mean, there's some features and stuff that definitely is helpful, but that seems a bit much.
I think the biggest one for some people is that you can't label the chat.
Oh yeah, yeah, that can be annoying, especially if like you do have kind of splintered groups, right? If one's like John, Ben, Pete, and the other's like John, Ben, Pete, and JP. If you could name them, it's easier to keep them straight. So it's a very good feature. I don't know if it's enough to end a friendship, but it's a good feature. I got your back a little bit on this one.
I appreciate that. It's a bizarre deal, and I almost feel emboldened to just stay with this thing, even if like the iPhone like came to me and said, we'll pay you to take it. I'm like, we'll see.
Apple, I don't need your money.
Nah, I'll take their money, but yeah, I really, at this point, I'm just dug in.
But you won't give them any of yours.
Right, at this point, I'm just dug in. I don't know.
I feel you. By the way, real quick, I do want to ask you about what you expect Saturday against Carolina, because this is, you know, we're getting our last half hour with you for the week. But first, the Roquan Smith thing. I know you theoretically caught the very end of what I was talking about right before you came in, that trading for Roquan Smith on its surface, you know, if he indeed does become available, Chicago right now is, of course, which they would do for leverage purposes, saying, like, no, we want to work something out with him. Also, he's a good player. They want him playing for them. And as Tyler Aki told us at 4, like, he's probably the best player on their team. And in fact, Tyler said he is the best player on their team, and it's a pretty wide margin in number 2. But he also wants an extension. And considering where this team is, the Commanders, with all of their contracts and the guys they're going to have to extend, even though an upgrade at middle linebacker would be fantastic, does it make any sense for them to trade for Roquan Smith?
I mean, you're right about the money. I mean, the money goes a long way. This has been the question all along when you have these four defensive linemen, you pick them in consecutive first rounds, is you can't realistically extend all of them, and it's all at one position. So what's the plan here? We're kind of seeing them kind of go through that, extend John Allen, Daron Payne, wait and see. But then you have the two pass rushers coming behind that. So you just gave Terry McLaurin a ton of money. If Carson Wentz works out, at a minimum, he's going to – I don't have the exact cap figure, but he's like $26, $27 million over the next couple of years. If they don't renegotiate with him at all, plus – now you're going to have to dip into, are we paying Montez Sweat, giving him an extension, followed by Chase Young? And look, there's ways to be creative accounting. That's conceivable. But, you also have to factor in what's the overall plan here. So, linebacker is definitely a questionable position for them. Cole Holcomb is solid. They're hopeful with Jamin Davis, who I think has shown some better things in camp. But there's a ways to go, and at a minimum, they don't have a lot of depth there, but that's not what this is. This is a frontline player. It would be an incredibly bold move to do it without knowing the trade acquisition cost. But from a money standpoint, like you said, they would have to make some tough decisions kind of off the bat as to where they would not spend some money if they brought in a guy like that.
Right. And it's like, okay, yeah, getting Roquan Smith would be great. Getting him probably wouldn't be that hard in terms of draft picks. Like, are the Bears going to want something big back? Yeah. Are they going to have the leverage to get it considering he's on an expiring deal? No. And middle linebackers just don't get like second or first round picks in return, especially when you're going to have to turn around and pay the guy. But from that element, yeah. Is it worth it? Sure. But are you ultimately going to be able to commit to Roquan Smith long term? Probably not, which is why that probably actually is exciting as it seems on its face. Like, go do it, make the move, is actually probably not something that makes sense for the Commanders. All right, Saturday, preseason game number one. Ron said that Carson definitely is going to play. Who else do you expect to be with him? Like, is McLaurin going to be out there? Is Dotson going to be out there? Who do you expect to see on Saturday?
So yesterday in the media room, one of the SiriusXM channels was there, and they did an interview with Ron, and I happened to sort of overhear some of it, and it sounded like he was saying he expects his guys to play. Now, if they've been nursing Curtis Samuel throughout practices, I'm going to guess we won't see him. And obviously, then there are the other guys who are right now kind of injured, your Cole Turners, your William Jacksons. I would guess not there. But like, if you're going to play Carson Wentz, you probably need to play Terry McLaurin. You don't want Carson Wentz just to be thrown to like random guys who won't be making the team in a few weeks. So I would guess we would see the starters. Could it be more than a series? Maybe not. I mean, especially if they go out and score, that may be enough. And maybe it's two series max and call it a day. But, yeah, if you're going to play the starting quarterback, you need to put the pieces around him, because otherwise you don't want him to be a sitting duck across the board. So I would think we'll probably see the starters on offense, but for how long, would be the question.
Who's the guy you're most interested in seeing on Saturday?
Well, just to say with the offense, I think I'd say Brian Robinson. Like, he's looked – I've been impressed with what I've seen. But as you know, having been out there, the running game, it's hard to really calibrate what you're seeing in practice. There's no tackling, right? So, like, what is actually going on here? But he's looked pretty good to me, and they drafted him for a reason. They want to be able to take some pressure off the quarterback, but they also want to sustain drives. And they couldn't do that consistently enough last year, partly because of Antonio Gibson's injuries and fumbles. And, he's also just not a natural runner like that. He's a guy in space, not necessarily between the tackles. So I'm really curious to see Brian Robinson out there. And then I guess on the other side, I would say Jamin Davis, because we can only get so much again in practice. As a defender, you're not really respecting the run. This isn't, how does Jamin Davis look, assuming he plays, reacting to the run in coverage and so on. So I think those are two guys that I would be certainly want to keep an eye on.
I definitely want to see Forrest and Butler at safety, and I want to see how they use those guys. Like, Cam Curl can play in the post. He can play the Buffalo spot, and they're probably going to move him around a little bit. So when he's in the Buffalo spot, like, who's back? Is it Forrest? Forrest has got a lot of run there. He's also a guy that can come down. He's a bigger body. Butler's played a little bit of both as well. Like, how do they use them? And then two, how do they do? Because I think there's actually a lot of potential, like what, that's a legitimate position battle. Like both guys are going to make the team, but who plays and in what roles in the regular season is very much up in the air. And getting some actual game action, seeing an offense they haven't seen before, seeing players they haven't seen before, and how those guys react, I think could be a big, big step in that direction.
Yeah, and those are two fun guys to watch because they are some rock 'em sock 'em guys. You know, when the Commanders were fined for some excessive hitting earlier in the offseason, I think Derek Forrest was somebody who was putting a little extra mustard on some plays. And Cole Turner, he's out right now with a hamstring injury. It happened on a play in which a couple guys hit him, but Percy Butler seemed to be the one that really gave a little bit extra there. So I'm really excited to see those two guys in a setting where, go ahead, go hit some people.
Go see what get them, fellas.
Yeah, see what they can do. And I feel like Forrest has maybe been, at least on practice, been played a little bit ahead of Butler, but you're right. I think both will play, and when they want three safeties out there on the field like they did last year with Landon Collins, either one of these guys could be a pretty interesting play in that regard.
Yeah, I also feel like there could be different versions of that Buffalo nickel where, like, there's almost like a standard one where Curl is down in the box and Forrest is back, and then maybe like almost like a dime replacement package where Butler plays a little bit deeper, Curl plays, you know, in certain areas, or Butler plays underneath, sorry, and Curl's playing over the top. Like, I think there's a lot of different variations they could go with, and it might not be as straightforward as, like, there is a backup safety. It could be a rotation depending on situation and personnel grouping, et cetera, et cetera. All right, when we get back, it is time for Real Things, Real People Said, into Real Microphones, a doozy of an introductory press conference, and one of television's best shows is back tonight. That's next. Ben Standing with us on The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. Great having Ben Standing as we do on Tuesdays. And Ben, just a couple more of these and be regular season. Saturday preseason game one. I can't, like, it's one of those things where, like, I can't believe it's already here, but, like, it also feels like we've just been in that, like, this is the weirdest time of training camp where you've just kind of gotten to Groundhog Day. Every day is the same. And then it's like, oh, finally, something different.
Right. On the one hand, it feels like it's the preseason game has snuck up on us. On the other hand, yes, you're right. Again, I always feel like I have to qualify that. I appreciate the fact that the job I have is fun.
Right.
But when it's the same thing every day, I will say, hopefully my employers are not listening at The Athletic, that I was not as attentive over the last day or two with every single snap the way I may have been the first few days when it was all brand new and all that. Plus, it's been really, really hot. But yeah,
it focusing is hard in that heat, man. You're just like, I just am trying to live.
Yeah, today they were on the sunny field, so that added to it as well. But yeah, I mean, the game, not only is it a game condition, so obviously that's going to change the dynamic. You have another team, but it's just something different. It breaks up the monotony. It is basically the same thing every day. I'm sure for the players, they wanted to do different things. And that's why you see, like, in the position drills, running backs coach Randy Jordan in particular, they do different drills almost every single day just to do something different. They're all relatively the same, but just to try to shake up their brain so it isn't just, you know, by rote over and over again.
Which is exactly what good coaches do, to mix up the warm-up, basically, to stimulate a little bit of excitement, a little bit of a brain. How'd Keim do, by the way, in the tennis ball juggle? I saw Randy was putting him through the drill.
Yeah, I think you know, he's got to work on some of that hand-eye coordination. You know, he's still got a couple of weeks to go before cutdown day, so, you know, he's got some time.
he's got time. I conspicuously absent from the unofficial depth chart, but, you know, that's why it's unofficial. All right, Anthony, let's do Real Things.
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11, not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Dateline, Ashburn. Yeah, we're starting local. Scott Abraham, ABC7, sat down with Curtis Samuel and asked him straight up, you playing week one?
Is that okay to, like, look at the camera and say, guys, relax, Curtis Samuel's going to be okay? Because I'm actually kind of sick of answering those questions. Yeah. So let's kind of set the record straight.
Everybody, don't worry about anything. We have a plan and it's working. You know what I'm saying? I feel good. I'm confident. The coaches is confident. Everybody else, we got a plan. We sticking to it. I will be out there week one. Trust me when I tell you. I'm taking care of myself.
Curtis Samuel has apparently never heard of jinxes.
Scott played the video for me, and Curtis Samuel looked right into the camera, very earnest. Curtis, I really hope you're accurate because I'm tired of answering the questions too. So,
look, I believe him. I believe him that as of today, he's healthy and would play in week one. The problem was last year he was also on track and then re-injured stuff. And maybe not at this point he had been re-injured. I don't remember the exact timeline of it all. But like, just because you're on track now doesn't mean that is preventive or like that you have clean sailing built into the future. So hopefully everything continues to go to plan. But Curtis Samuel, as of today, directly into a camera, so you know it's real, says he's on track and ready to go for week one. The Broncos, a new ownership group, got introduced today. It's now official. There's some celebrity owners. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. F1 driver Lewis Hamilton. Sir Lewis Hamilton. But the main owner... It sounds like he's got a little bit more homework to do on his most highly paid employee.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Can you imagine, Ben, being part of a group of people that pays someone like $60 million a year, whatever Goodell gets paid, and not knowing that person's name, not knowing the name of someone you're helping pay $60 million a year?
I mean, there's really... You start with any new organization, it's hard to meet everybody. That should be a pretty easy one to figure out. Even if you botch some of the other owners' names, Roger Goodell. He's kind of a thing. You should have gotten that one.
I'd also like to say hello to my fellow owners, Daniel Snyder, Jerry Hones. I can't think of any other owners right now. Steven Rose. I could keep going. David Tapper. Come on. He's the commissioner of the NFL. You just spent $4 billion on a team. How do you not know that guy's name? It's wild to me.
Not to mention, if you're assuming you're into football, hence you bought the team.
Right.
Again, his name is pretty prominent. He's mentioned kind of often.
You'd think that you probably talked to him at some point. Maybe just knew him as Roger. Just say that. I like to thank Roger. Roger. One of the best shows on television. It's Hard Knocks. HBO takes us inside an NFL team each and every year. This year, it's Dan Campbell and the Lions, and Jamal Williams, one of their better players. He's got us all ready for football.
Jamal Williams,
bring it up. I'm gonna let y'all know, man. Today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f-ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f-ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Feels a little weird just hearing the audio. I imagine it's much more emotional. And like be into it. Why, Anthony, you're nodding your head. You've seen the video. I'm just hearing the audio. Like when you watch the video, are you into it? Because I'm not going to lie. Hearing the audio, also the general nature of this segment, it kind of made me want to giggle.
Nah, I wouldn't giggle. Looking at it, I definitely felt the pain. But also, like what he said, I felt it. I felt the emotion, you know, just watching it. So.
Losing's got to be terrible. You put so much in to an NFL game. All right, I've come around. I've taken my cynical hat off, Ben.
Well, and we talk about here all the issues that have happened here.
Yeah.
The Lions, just in terms of wins and losses, forget the rest of it. They are so hapless. It's unbelievable how long they've gone without real winning, and even just in recent times. It just does not work out. By the way, they trade Matthew Stafford, they do him a solid, and the guy goes on to win the Super Bowl. I'm sure only pouring more salt into the wounds.
Yeah. I mean, The amount that goes into preparing for each and every football game and to just lose basically all of them, that's got to suck. So good for Jamal. I mean, like, honestly, at the end of the day, this is what it's about. You hope that guys care, and fans care so much. You hope that the players care as much. And so good on Jamal Williams. It's Bruce Allen's fault. We come into this segment with a certain amount of snark because of Bruce in the promo. Sometimes it gets me in the wrong headspace, but I pulled it together. Jamal Williams, salute. Ben Standing, salute. Thank you for doing this as always, and I'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it. Enjoy your isolation.
Thank you. Scott Jackson's in the chair tomorrow where Ben is. I will be back, of course, as well. Got some good stuff planned for the show. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at Hoffman Show if you want to learn all about it. We will see you tomorrow here on the Team 980. The Power Hour is next.